A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight.
Verbum Domini.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself, so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced, but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me.
Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple.
Verbum Domini.
Thank God today for the life and witness of our two newest saints canonized earlier today in Rome, Saints Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis. And we pray that many young people will be inspired by the heroic witness of these two young men. right, who generously followed the gospel, which is not easy. It is very difficult. It's very challenging, as the Lord tells us in the gospel today. And we all benefit from the witness of the saints. We need that witness. We benefit from their witness and also their intercession, right? And we know they are in heaven. They are praying for us. So our Lord, again, as I mentioned, he makes it very clear just how demanding and challenging it really is to follow him. And he gives us today three conditions that are necessary to follow him, to be a disciple of his. If we're going to be faithful to him, it will cost us everything. And although it's challenging to follow him, he will give us all the necessary graces to do so, all the help that we need. The first condition, he says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So our Lord is using hyperbole, an exaggerated statement that gets one's attention, right? When he says, unless you hate father or mother, that's going to grab attention, right? He uses his exaggerated expression to impress upon us a very important point. That is that we cannot prefer anyone to the love of God, to the love of Christ. We must simply keep God and our relationship with him as our main priority in life. We should also be making him the center of all the decisions that we make in life, right? Including him, asking for his guidance. And the Lord is telling us today that we need to love him more than all others. He is number one in our life. This includes even our family relationships. We're still to love them. Of course, that's the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, which also includes our siblings, our loved ones. But a disciple of Christ must choose Jesus first and never allow any human relationship to be an obstacle, right? Any human relationship to keep us from following Christ. So our commitment to Christ must be greater than our attachment to family. And only God could ask this of us, right? Only he could legitimately ask us to love him above every other person in this life. He created us. He calls us to love him with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. And that's what our Lord is asking of us in the gospel today. As St. Gregory the Great stated in one of his homilies, we should have charity towards all, towards relatives and towards strangers. But without separating ourselves from the love of God out of love for them. So again, very simply, our love for God is always first. Our love for others takes second place. And we can ask, is this the case for me right now? Does God have priority in my life right now? Or is it someone else? Or is it something else? Am I inordinately attached to another person or persons or to things? The second condition, our Lord says today, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So our Lord wants to make sure that we know what we're getting into by following him. We're called to embrace difficulties, trials, and suffering in life. We must be willing to carry our cross each day in whatever form it takes. And if we're trying to avoid the cross, which is easy to do, right? We don't like suffering. But if we're trying to avoid the cross, we're trying to avoid those means by which God desires to sanctify us. He sanctifies us through the cross each day. He purifies us. And so accepting and embracing the cross makes us holy. It purifies us and conforms us to Christ. And so we ought not to get discouraged if we have hardships along our way to heaven. It's very clear in the book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1, that if you come forward to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation, for trials, right? It's coming. It's difficult. We cannot be his disciples unless we're prepared to suffer for love of him and others. And the martyrs are a wonderful witness of this. They're prepared to die rather than to sin and offend God. And they loved God more than they loved their own lives. And they saw in the Lord's own passion and death the love that motivated them to follow along the way of the cross. And as Jesus loved us and died for us, again, we ask ourselves, examine our own conscience, do we love him enough to embrace the cross? even if it means laying down our lives for him. And the third condition our Lord gives us, he says, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. This is similar when he said that we cannot serve two masters, right? We cannot serve God and mammon, or God and wealth or possessions. This doesn't mean that everyone has to sell all that they have and give that money to the poor. Some are called to make a vow of poverty. But we are all called to detachment. His main point is that we should not be overly attached to possessions. It is very easy to turn possessions into idols, where we put them in a higher place than our relationship with God. Again, Pope St. Gregory the Great says of our relationship with possessions and worldly things, he says, hold those things which are of the world in such a way that you are nevertheless not held by them in the world. In order to possess an earthly thing, let it not possess you. Let what you own be under the rule of your mind, lest, if your mind should be conquered by the love of earthly things, your mind itself be owned instead by those things. Right? So we want to have proper use of our possessions and not allow our possessions to possess us. The bottom line, again, is heaven will cost us everything, right? We must have a detachment from the things of this life, anything that's going to be an obstacle. We can't take anything with us. So something to think about is, would we be willing to drop our attachment to things if the Lord would call us to himself today? Psalm 90, which was our responsorial psalm today, can be a great help in keeping a proper perspective with regard to our possessions. Psalm 90 gets us to think about eternity and the shortness of this life. We heard in the psalm, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? So when we think about the shortness of our earthly life, it can help us with overcoming our attachments to the things of this world, and about the necessity of putting the Lord first and being faithful to him. That's where our peace is found, right? When we have a proper order in our lives, when God truly is first place in our lives, everything else falls into its proper order, and there is peace. And the Greek word translated as renounce, as in anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple, that also means to say farewell or goodbye. So we must be willing to part with these things if they are truly an obstacle in our relationship with God, if they're keeping us away from him. If we're not sure about something, we can ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this thing that is an obstacle? To help count the cost of following him, our Lord gives us two images today, one of building a tower and another of going into battle. And very simply, we have to think and plan before we build something or go into battle. Following the Lord is not a decision to be made lightly. We need to know the commitment necessary to grow in our faith and to fight the good fight and to persevere in it to the very end. So we need a strategy. So what is our strategy on a practical level? Well, am I willing to make those adjustments that I know I need to make, and even part with something if it is an obstacle to my relationship with God? And not only am I willing, but am I willing today to take steps to do this? So we see in the saints what it looks like to put God first. And they are the most peaceful and joy-filled people in the world, despite their sufferings. Again, it is very good for us to be familiar with the lives of the saints, because they suffered tremendously as well. And we do see that despite their sufferings, they were filled with joy. They had peace that came from Christ. They endured heavy crosses, but their acceptance of the cross brought them enduring peace as they sought to keep their eyes on the Lord and on heaven. So we pray today that we might unclutter our lives and live more simply and generously the Holy Gospel, trying always to give first place to the Lord and his will in our lives. We know that the Lord did not beg people to follow him. Rather, he said very simply, come follow me. And he said how hard it would be. And that's what attracts us, right? It is challenging. He didn't, again, try to do everything he could in a way of begging people, trying to do everything to make it attractive. He said, come follow me, It's difficult, but he will show us the way. He is the way, right? And he did lay down his life for us. So it is attractive, but it's also very challenging. But eternal life is worth the struggle for holiness in this life. Do we trust that he will take care of us and provide the graces necessary, especially through the sacraments, as we continue our short pilgrimage through this life?